Hi, welcome to this podcast. I'm your host, Kit Alowitz. Today's podcast is entitled The To-Do List, Outwitting the Temptation to Pull the Chicken Switch and Get That To-Do List Done. Now, I've always considered myself, or so I think, a to-do list guy. I make to-do lists for myself, and it doesn't stop there. I make to-do lists for my kids, for my employees, for my wife, which always gets me in trouble. I will make a to-do list for any and all who ask me to do so. For me, there is something magical about having a list to follow to get things done. Now, if the saying is true, there is more to do than time to do it, well, by gosh, I'm going to try hard, or have tried hard, to push up against that saying, to try to essentially prove it wrong. Yet I haven't yet. My to-do list is a constant competition I have to prove that saying is not quite right, although that saying is probably right. Heck, I will make a to-do list for vacations I go on, when I'm on vacation, on Christmas Day, on Sundays, at work, at home, for a project, for every room in the house. I live by my to-do lists. I probably get my thrills off getting and completing those lists. Here's how it works. I prioritize that to-do list, and then I execute. My kids know me as the to-do guy first. Without exception, they've learned to expect a 3x5 card every Saturday of their lives, living with me, in terms of a list of chores to get done. Now, you're probably thinking or struggling not to think, okay, this is weird. Maybe even a little bit wrong. I'm asking you to hold off that temptation to go there yet. Let me keep going. If you walk into my office, you will likely see a 3x5 card there with projects to get done prioritized on my table. I can hardly think, in fact, about going through a day without my to-do list. And by gosh, if I list it and prioritize it, then it's going to get done. Now, my wife has learned to recognize me by night by the headlamp I will inevitably be wearing on my head. Why, you ask? So I can navigate around the house late at night in pursuit of getting my to-do list done. For nearly 2 decades now, you can often find me also out after dark late on the road with my headlight on. Why? Because I'm running. Why? Because running was on my to-do list, and I know that my willpower runs low as the day weans on, so I like to do the worst, most unpleasant, I don't want to do items first on my list. Running isn't on that category of things to do first or that are unpleasant and I don't like. Thus, while I'll save that 20-mile run for later in the day or evening or even night. On the other hand, things like writing, researching, cleaning the house, painting, putting up baseboards, putting up drywall, filling out my expense reports, figuring out how to wiring issue, electrical issue, all those to-do items I want to get done early in the day. Why? Because they are far less enjoyable to me than doing a long run. Designing a PowerPoint presentation, maybe preparing a speech, doing landscaping and mowing the lawn, those are all enjoyable, so I'll save those later in the day. I do the worst things, the least desirable things first whenever possible, and this plan has worked for me. For me, I often put far too many things on my list than is probably acceptable by the time management gods. But I see that list upon its creation and prioritized as the next race. It's the next challenge. It's the next thrill. A contest to get those items done. Hell or high water, I will get them done. I haven't gotten tired or bored with this repeatable process. In fact, for me, it's a weird version, perhaps, of Groundhog Day, the movie. Same day, just different to-do list. And I love it. For some, like my wife, that repeatable recipe is maddening. For me, it's peace and enjoyment, and it's joy, and it's a thrill. Often, the degree of daily satisfaction I feel at the end of the day ends up being determined by the completion or ill-completion of my to-do list. 20 years ago, I would say, I was willing to sacrifice effectiveness for efficiency to achieve that completion of the to-do list. Today, many years later, hopefully wiser, I go for effectiveness first and simply outlast, out-talk the other voice in my head that wants to quit. Now, out-talking or outlasting the other voice in my head, it's served me in many areas of my life over the last few decades. In fact, there hasn't been a 50-miler race that I've done that the other voice in my head didn't want to force my legs to stop running or to give up. Every Ironman I've completed was laced with the other voice in my head saying, stop, slow down, walk, give up. That voice never wins. The other voice in my head has asked my body to stop performing when I'm teaching classes and trying to stay motivational. It's asked me to give up on my master's degree in the past. It asked me to stop on long training runs for running or biking or swimming. And yet, with the many times I have beat that other voice in my head, there's also been a plethora of times that I have not won against that voice in the other voice in my head. My first marriage, completing my first book on schedule, trying to climb Mount Everest way back when, starting a business when I was in my 20s, and many other smaller intuitions I've had, but I did not act on. Sometimes that other voice in my head wins on little fronts as well. Examples like things like being nice to everyone all of the time, eating healthily all the time, keeping a journal, or always doing quality work. I have not always won those battles. And maybe in the end I chickened out on those things because, if for nothing else, my desire wasn't strong enough. I certainly have had the capacity to complete those things, to follow through, but I didn't. And I want to. I get fascinated, in fact, when I have a list of to-dos and really I don't feel like doing them. Why is that happening? Why do I literally feel like I don't want to do them? I have deemed those items as should items, and literally the feeling I imagine or associate with doing those shoulds on the to-do list, it isn't appealing. I have been guilty many times of scanning that to-do list, again, looking for anything on that list that would allow me to feel a more appetizing way, a want desire. This almost always gets me in trouble. So I've learned that when I do that, I inevitably end up with a to-do list that is spotty in terms of completion. For me, once I prioritize that to-do, I have to remember that I have now literally made a commitment. Now discipline comes into play, which is the ability to complete that list as identified after the fun emotion of putting that to-do list together has passed. So, do my wife, my kids, my employees think that I've got a few screws loosed? Maybe. Is seeing things to get done, call it a to-do list or whatever, as a competition, as a thrill, as a contest, is that bad? Who knows, in fact, what is bad? Better said, it is unwise. Probably more accurate to say unwise, but unwise how? I might severely be tempted to sacrifice effectiveness for efficiency. Worse yet, if I don't add in my to-do list the relationships that I value, well, those can often, or I have the temptation to put them back door in terms of, or back seat in terms of to-do list completion. In fact, unfortunately, I have even been accused in a few rare anomalies of this notion, task first, people second. And that's pretty unwise. Heck, several years ago, I even almost ran myself to death, or so I thought, in a 100-mile race where the to-do was finish, even though I'd stopped paying attention to my physiological system and its limitations. I've put up walls in my home when I was past effectiveness and then suffered with a crappy-looking finished sheet-rocked wall. I've spent hours going in the wrong direction with presentation preparation because I failed to listen to my physiological system telling me stop and go to bed. And then there was the time I was 17. I worked for a farmer and his wife who grew lots of peppermint. I loved this memory, or I do, of in my life. In fact, I very much respected these two individuals and still today consider them my second parents. The farmer's wife was very involved in the business, and I remember so many years ago, one day she praised me for getting something done right that I was supposed to do, and then added at the end of our conversation that I was overzealous. And I didn't even know what that meant, and yet it sounded bad. And I remember going home that day in a fog of thought, contemplation, and reflection as to what overzealousness meant. And I still find it fascinating that I remember that moment in time nearly 30 years ago. I, of course, upon getting home that day, immediately pulled out the old Webster's Dictionary that we had back in 1988 to figure it out what it was, this overzealousness. Was I destined for trouble or triumph, pain or gain, winningness or weaniness, good things or bad things, a wise life or an unwise life? Okay, too much cheese here, I agree. You get the point. I wanted to know this way of being that this mother figure I respected, how she was describing me. So here it is. The adjective, overzealous, is flagged with several yellow lights. Overzealous means marked by excessive enthusiasm for and intense devotion to a cause or idea. Synonyms include fanatic, fanatical, rabid, passionate, or perhaps having or expressing strong emotions. And today, if you look on vocabulary.com, it states overzealousness describes someone who gets too excited about something, like your mom, the overzealous collector of cute kitten figurines that now fill every table and shelf in your house. If you're overzealous about something, you've gone too far, and you're probably starting to scare people. Parents who are overzealous about keeping their kids safe may not allow them to go out of the house ever. If you are overzealous about conserving water, you might shower a little too infrequently or scold people for washing their cars. Most people understand you mean well, and that's why you are so intense. Well, needless to say, I recovered without much to do as a 17-year-old after learning I was, or at least what another person saw me as. And I didn't disagree much back then, and I probably still don't disagree much today as to my nature to be overzealous. At times, many times, that is my tendency. And I've learned to balance effectiveness and efficiency to yield the outcomes that match what my values are, that are considered of efficiency and effectiveness. And yet, with all that said, do I at times still opt for overzealousness? Yes. Does it happen less at 46 than when I was 17? Hopefully. Most of the people in my life have learned there is still joy to be found with working and living and being with a guy who truly believes that there are many, many ways to maximize willpower, to get the to-do list done, to be overzealous, and yet get everything you want out of work and life, to live a life, or try to, that's very free, or close to being free, of pulling the chicken switch. And I wish that same freedom upon you. Until next time, thank you.